Sermon tonight comes from Exodus chapter 20. We'll start at verse 18. Back to verse 18 is where we are. Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 18. This is directly following the announcement of the Ten Commandments. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you will not sin." So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'You yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven. You shall not make other gods besides me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. You shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it out of cut stone. For if you wield your tool on it, you will profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it." Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for coming and speaking to us tonight gently. Lord, please give us those hearts that respond to a gentle command, that respond to gentle direction. That we would not put ourselves in the place where we would need a more harsh or stronger admonition or a rebuke or a threatening. God, bless us as we draw near to you to hear from you, that you will be glorified. As we seek you, as we seek your face, and as we catch our stride following your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Fewer things are more frightening than a close lightning strike. When I was a younger person and I had my ridiculously long hair, my sister and I, we were running along on a dam, the dam at Uncle Charles's Lake. And as we ran along, there was thunder off in the distance, and we stopped as we were running and we looked at each other. And when I looked at my sister, her hair was standing up. And I said, "Ha ha ha ha," and pointed at her. And I said, "Your hair's standing up." And she looked at me and she said, "Ha ha ha ha, your hair's standing up too." And we realized we were on the edge of getting struck by lightning at that moment. We both gasped and we fell down on our belly on the dam to avoid getting struck by lightning. Lightning is this terrifying picture. It's this terrifying thing that none of us want to experience. People who get struck by lightning often die. People who get struck by lightning often lose their hearing. It's a devastating experience. I know a man who was struck by lightning 3 different times in his life, and he has not benefited from the experience one bit. We're given this picture of when God comes, that lightning is flashing and striking around the mountain. Thunder is booming forth from it. The horns are blowing, and it's such an experience that as the people are there, even though they wanted to hear from God, or they thought that they did, they are trembling at this point. We have the Ten Commandments, and we've got the bookends of the Ten Commandments with the thunder and the lightning and the terror and the fear. Imagine being in the moment where you have drawn close. The cloud has descended and smoke is rolling up from the mountain. The lightning is striking forth. Just before this, God said, set up boundaries so people don't come too close. If they come too close, kill them. Now that was a threat that was put into place so that people would hear that commandment and they wouldn't come into the range of the lightning. There was a protection even at that point being offered to them and placed before them. But when he comes and he's speaking from the cloud and the horn is blowing, the words penetrated their hearts. They understood the depths of the commandments. When they heard the commandments, they knew their guilt. They saw the power and the fury of God against sin. Because sin is death. The dramatic picture was given for them. When you are given the words of life, you're able to rejoice in the life if you're guiltless. But as the command speaks, as the light shines, it shows the guilt in all of our hearts. So the people were filled with fear when they saw it. Now God, as he speaks to the people, and as he proclaims the ways of life, and he demonstrates the guilt that is present, he moves immediately as he speaks to them about having false gods, and then he moves to the place of worship and the sacrifice. What is the place of worship and the sacrifice? But recognizing our own guilt and the rescue that comes in Christ Jesus. As we see the weight of the law, it drives us to worship. As we see the weight of the law, it drives us to Christ, through whom our worship comes. So as we do our summary of the Ten Commandments, as we come to this place, I'm calling on you to hold on to Christ, to give him your worship with love and with reverence. Our first step is remember his lethal power beyond nature. Verses 18 and 19. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And the people saw it and they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die. God provides this setting and he gives this picture of his weight and his splendor and his glory, of his strength for them so that they would understand that with him is life. And to be against him, to be against life again, is to be in the place of death. We look and we could see the terror of the lightning that would make a young man who was ridiculous and had very little fear of death would throw himself on his belly at the moment of being threatened with lightning. Here we see the Hebrews responding in such a way, but God adds to the moment for them. So as if to say, later on, somebody couldn't say, it was just a storm. We've seen lightning before. It wasn't a big deal. God adds the trumpet to the moment for them. That from the midst of the cloud, and the trumpet's that expression of strength, and it's an announcement of strength. If someone ever dared say, it was just a storm, they could say, no, I heard the trumpets. I heard the sound. I heard the call. And from that place, when others would say, and we heard his voice. He spoke to us from the midst of the cloud. He told us what was life. He showed us what was death. And he demonstrated himself with a power. We look, and recently I saw someone wearing a shirt that says, God is love. And that's scripture. That's true. One old preacher and professor, he told the story of being a professor in the 60s, and a young man walked into his classroom and he had God is love, God is love, God is love, God is love written all over him, or it may have just been the word love. The preacher said he even had love written on his shoes. He said, I asked the young man, why do you have love written all over you? And the young man responded, because God's love, man. And the old preacher reportedly said, God's also a consuming fire. You don't want that all over you, do you? This idea that God is love, yes, but Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Consuming fire. Consuming. When he came to the mountain smoked. It was in Exodus 19:12 where the commandment was given. You shall set bounds for the people all around the mountain, saying, beware that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. There's a strength that is beyond nature, a strength of life or the strength of death. Our next step is for verse 19. Our second step, he is more than you can bear. Exodus 20, 19. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die. When God comes, the burden is so great. I am reminded of the time of my own salvation when it was being described that God is everywhere and everywhen at the same time. And my mind began to roll through my more significant sins. The things that other people, if they knew about, they would shake their head and be disgusted by me and want nothing to do with me. As I felt that weight and I was literally driven to the ground by the experience, then the answer came. He still loved me enough to send his son to die for me. God's power and the condemnation that comes with our guilt is answered in Christ. We cannot approach the Father without the Son. Our guilt remains without the Son. When we look at Scripture and when God had spoken to people, he was terrifying unless he came in the image of Christ, even in the older covenant. There's a peace and a reconciliation when Jesus comes and Jesus meets with us. Hebrews 1:3. For he is the radiance of his glory in the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Psalm 148:5. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts. Psalm 33:9. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The picture of God is more than we can bear. In Genesis, we see him as the one who speaks and makes reality. He makes all things, everything that we see. He spoke by the word of his power. When we look at him here in the book of Exodus, we see him coming as the lawgiver and sending the destroyer. It's a terrible weight and it's a terrible burden. We can look at him in the book of Hosea and see him as the perfect and the faithful husband who comes. We could look at that. Those of us who are married, we can look and we could just see how far we fall short as we're given the imagery of Hosea. And when we come to passages that look forward to Christ, and when we see him in the newer covenant, we see him as Savior. He comes to us as the lover of our souls. He comes as the one who redeems us, the one who rescues us, the one who bears our burdens for us. So this is our third step, which is yield to life. We see what is taking place. We come to that place of worship. Verse 23 and 24. You shall not make other gods besides me, because there is no replacement for Christ. Gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves, because there is no rescue without the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall make an altar of earth for me. You shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. I will come to you and bless you. It is the blessing that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are received, that our sins have been paid for, that we now have peace. We have rescue. We saw in Psalm 85, verse 13, which we sang, that we have the footsteps and the ways of life, that we are removed from the place of death. We are removed from the place of destruction. And even though in this life we will face death, we are given the great resurrection, where there is the hope, because Jesus was raised from the dead. Each of us have a confidence and we have a peace in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as God spoke the Ten Commandments, and I described it as bookends, the lightning and the thunder with the commandments in the middle, I think it's also very likely that he spoke, and as he spoke, and even as the commandments were coming, each commandment as it was spoken, perhaps there was a flash of lightning and a boom of thunder that shook their very core as they saw themselves as guilty of having other gods, as they saw themselves each guilty of making graven images. Did it boom? Did it shake their hearts? Did they remember each time that they bore his name in vain? Boom! Did they remember each time they had broken the Sabbath? Boom! It came again and again and again and again, and the weight was more than they could bear. And then Moses could look at them and say, wait! Don't be afraid. How? How, as lightning flash and thunder boom to their very core, how, as they saw their guilt 10 times, how could they not be afraid? Because God said, now make an altar. See the sacrifice. See your sin transferred to another. Give me that worship. Give the Son that worship as he has loved you and as he has given his life up for you. As you are reconciled in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the heart of our worship. This is how we come in love, because we have been saved. We have been rescued. We look, and our fifth step is to hold on to life and to worship. Life has been given to us in Christ Jesus, and the heart that has been redeemed must worship. The heart that has been redeemed must give this service to his Savior. It is the reality of being saved. So the commandments come in verses 22 through 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven. So you shall not make other gods besides me. Gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. You shall make an altar of earth for me. And you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it out of cut stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you will profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it. He shows and he says, I have spoken to you out of heaven. I have declared to you life and reality and truth, and I have shown you the burden of sin and that it is death. He says, so don't make for yourselves any other thing that's going to be in my face. But we always run after it. We look for other things to satisfy. We look for other things to worship. We look for other things to love. Don't make gods of silver or gods of gold for yourself. When we look in the Psalms, it says, those who make them will be like them. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have mouths, but they do not breathe. Would you be that? Would you be that? Would you be those ones who pretend to be alive, but you worship a dead thing rather than the living God? Would you give yourself to death? Would you give yourself to idols? Do not make gods of silver or gods of gold for yourself. Do not fashion anything for yourself. And then in verse 25, he warns us, don't mess up the worship that I give you. If we looked in Deuteronomy chapter 12, 32, we would see that we're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. We're just to take specifically what he has given us, and that way we keep from messing it up. Verse 25. If you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it out of cut stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you will profane it. He's saying, if you try to fix it, if you try to fix up the altar, if you try to make it beautiful, you're going to profane it. Can you add to the sacrifice of Christ? Can you make Christ's sacrifice better? Can you make it more effective? You cannot. We see that the greatest heresies, those things that divide the church and separate us from Christ, are those things that we add to salvation. You are saved by faith alone. That is, by grace alone. And these things are a gift that is given to you. You cannot add to it. And he speaks with the same language about the worship that we have. We don't add to it. We don't make it better. And he says, if you wield a tool on it, if you try to alter it, you actually profane it. So don't try to tweak it. Don't try to improve it. Don't try to make it better. And we see then, as he describes, and you shall not go up by steps to my altar. He's warning us there that what is given to us in worship is to be counted as holy. We're not to risk profaning it. There's a special purity that is supposed to be kept in that environment and in that atmosphere, because we do it for him. It's a service given by him to us for us to render back to him. It's an expression of our affection, an expression of our salvation. It's that expression of life. And it may seem obvious, but it's that expression of worship and service for him. As he is our life, he is our salvation. As we come together and as we offer up the sacrifices of praise. Can you read each commandment and hear the boom? Can you read each commandment and see and feel your guilt? Can you be driven from that place to the perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there love him? Love him, love him, love him. Because he sacrificed himself for you. After living that perfect life for you. And then we are put in the place where mankind was made to be. In that place of loving worship, loving service, having been given new hearts, new songs placed in our mouths, hymns of praise to our God, and now with the ability and opportunity to serve Him and serve one another. Because of this beautiful reality, we hold on to our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Because of this beautiful reality, we give Him His worship. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You that You have displayed Your power in all of creation. We thank You that You have displayed life in Your commandments, and You have showed us the death that is apart from life, that death that is apart from You. We thank You for having spoken life into our hearts, that we could love You and that we can serve You. Please move in each of us, that we will seek You with our whole hearts, that we will walk in accordance with Your commands. And when we fall short, we will run quickly back to You, confessing our sin to You and giving You our worship. Thank You for the opportunity to love You and to serve You and to rejoice in You. Please bless us as Your sons and daughters as we continue to give You Your service tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.